Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. When we've gathered to worship the one in whom we find life and hope for this life and hope for the life to come. Lead us to God, our final rest. We sang just a bit ago. That was a prayer song that we sang. Hopefully we take notice to the words of the songs as we sing them and the commitments that we make, the petitions that we bring before God. For meditation this morning, I'd like us to do a heart search. Allowing God to search our hearts is the title if you're taking notes this morning. Allowing God to search our hearts. How important is your heart this morning? Every one of us has a physical heart. How important is that heart that we have? Just a few interesting notes about our hearts. Inside of us is a heart that is a pump that is pumping blood. It's a very important organ. Without a heart, without a good, healthy heart, life does not go on. A heart is not very large. An adult heart, they tell us, is about the size of your fist. Okay? So I suppose that's about the size of us adults' hearts here this morning. A baby's heart, a tiny little newborn baby's heart, is approximately the size of that newborn baby's fist. So if you see a newborn baby here this morning, or one that's relatively young, just a tiny, tiny little heart. But a very important organ. Inside our chest, protected deep inside there, is our heart that is busy every day, doing its part of keeping us alive. An adult heart pumps approximately 2,000 gallons of blood a day. Isn't that amazing? I didn't figure this out myself, so I'm dependent on statistics that I found. Approximately 2,000 gallons of blood a day, which is 33.3 gallons an hour, 1.38 gallon per minute. In a 70-year lifetime, the heart pumps about 51 million gallon of blood. 51 million gallon of blood. And the heart beats, you know, your heart in there goes kaplunk, it's there pumping blood. It beats approximately 2.5 billion times in a 70-year lifetime. That is amazing. And we take it most of the time for granted. But it's a very important organ in our physical body. Just a couple of months ago, I needed to get my CDL physical to renew my physical card that we need to carry if you drive a CDL class vehicle. Leading up to that time, I tend to have just a little high blood pressure, not real high. So I was checking to see what was going on, and it was running a little higher than what I knew it would be allowed to run to pass that test. And that was of a concern. And somehow, it seems the more you're concerned about something, the more it aggravates that problem. And I was getting down to the last few days and growing increasingly concerned about passing this test, because if you fail the test and don't get that card renewed, you start all over applying for a CDL. It's a path I didn't want to have to take. Well, I finally made a doctor's appointment just a few days before it was to expire, which you could call procrastination, I guess, but it only lasts for a certain amount of time, so the longer you wait, okay. So I go to the doctor, and one of the first things they do is check my blood pressure. And the bottom number is about 6 points higher than what it's allowed to be to pass. And so now what do we do? Well, Doc says, a little high, Jim. I'm going to have you lay down here on the table, and I'm going to go out for a while, and I'll be back in 5 or 10 minutes. You just relax. When I come back in, we're going to check it. and hopefully it'll be okay. So, okay, I lay down on the table. He turns the light off, he went out, and he closed the door, and I'm relaxed. It went a long time, it seemed like more than 5 or 10 minutes, but he opened the door, he came in, he turned the light on, and I started to sit up, and he said, "Oh, Jim, sit, just keep laying. Just relax, just lay down. I'm gonna take your blood pressure laying." And so I laid back down again, and he took my blood pressure, and he says, "Great, it passed." I don't know, I guess it did, but it passed anyway. I got a card, and I was very grateful. But that's what's going on inside our physical hearts every day. We go about our work. If we have to run for some reason, the heart accelerates its pumping, does what it needs to keep the body supplied with blood. 2,000 gallons of blood every day. Just amazing. Well, we know how important our physical hearts are. We are impressed with how advanced science has become in being able to treat heart diseases. There's many heart diseases and many heart operations that they can do today that 50, 75, or 100 years ago, people died from those heart diseases. I remember about 25 years ago, we moved into a new community and we learned that one of our neighbors had just gotten a heart transplant. That was a newer thing back then. I suppose it's what, about 50 years ago maybe that they started doing heart transplants, 50 or 60 years ago. But man is limited. Man is still limited in what he can do with the human heart. Amazing what they can do, but they are still limited. But we want to turn our focus this morning, allow God to examine our hearts, and allow God through the Word to give us a heart check. It's interesting how much the Bible talks about the heart when it relates to spiritual things. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is desperately wicked." I thought I had that by memory. I need to turn to it. The heart is desperately wicked. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's what Jeremiah reminds us. I would like you to turn to Psalm 139, a very familiar psalm. Maybe some of you, maybe most of you know it by memory. A prayer that the psalmist David prayed that I would like us to pray together here this morning before we allow God through the Word to examine our hearts to determine what type of heart we have or what our heart condition is. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. You know, we don't often read our prayers. You know, I've gone to services already. Perhaps a community person passes away and you go to the funeral. And I always go home kind of just amazed how that they read their sermons and they read their prayers. And it seems so cold, maybe, impersonal. But this morning, if you don't know these two verses by memory, I would like you to read the prayer. I would like you all to stand and pray this prayer with me. Shall we stand? Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Are we ready to pray? "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen." You may be seated. Every one of you who prayed along with this congregation this morning, just prayed that God would search your heart. Now, why do we need to pray a prayer like that? Does God not know what is in each heart here this morning? Does not God already know? So why did a psalmist, do you think David didn't realize or didn't think, and he thought he needed to tell God to just search his heart? Well, I believe this morning we know that God knows all things. He knows what is in our hearts. He knows our thoughts even before we think them. He knows the condition of our heart, of your heart this morning. And yet it is good for us to open our hearts and to verbalize that we want God to search our hearts for our spiritual good and for our acknowledgement that, God, I know that you know my heart. I want you to search it. I want you to try it. I want you to test it. And to help me to understand and know my heart. That's the purpose, that we would have God search our hearts this morning. That we would know our hearts and that we would be yielded to him. 20 points this morning. And don't let that be disheartening. We're not going to be here all day. We're going to make them short. 20 heart conditions that we're going to allow the Bible to speak to us about this morning. And we would like you to open your heart to what God says and the challenges of the scriptures. The first heart that we're going to look at, heart condition that we're going to look at this morning, is hard hearts. God talks about hard hearts. An example of that is back in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 22. That very familiar account of Moses and Aaron going before Pharaoh and requesting that Pharaoh would allow the children of Israel to leave Egypt. And we remember, you Bible scholars remember, the account of the plagues that came upon the land. And we have here the plague of the fish. The fish in the river died in Exodus 7, verse 21. The river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord had said. Pharaoh had a hard heart. A hard heart does not open itself up or respond to what God asks of it. Are there any hard hearts here this morning? Are our hearts sensitive and soft in responding to God's call and God's commandments, God's call of obedience for us here this morning? May God soften our hearts. We know what happened to Pharaoh and his army. God wants us to have soft hearts, hearts that are pliable and flexible, and sensitive to his call. Pharaoh had a hard heart, an example to us and a challenge to us to not have hard hearts this morning. Point number two, prepared hearts. Prepared hearts. 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 14 says about Rehoboam, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. It's interesting as you read through the Old Testament and watch the preparations that God's people were to make before they were to come before the Lord. They were to prepare themselves. There are special services that we have in our congregations where we prepare our hearts in a special way. I hope before you came this morning, and it's for your own spiritual benefit and good, if you came with a prepared heart, with a prepared mind, with an open heart and an open mind to hear what God would have to say. If you came with a prayer of openness and a preparedness this morning, you will leave this place having received benefit spiritually. It's a challenge for me. It's a challenge for all of us, I believe, to prepare our hearts for worship as we assemble from time to time. 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 3 of Jehoshaphat. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, God said of him, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thy heart to seek God. And that made all the difference in Jehoshaphat's reign, in his involvement as he endeavored to lead God's people. He prepared his heart to seek God. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10 of Ezra, it has been said, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the Lord and to do it and to teach it in Israel. What was it that he prepared his heart? To seek the law of the Lord. To really benefit from Bible reading, to really benefit from Christian fellowship and worship, we need to have prepared hearts. Hearts that are ready to hear what God would say, what he would teach us, and then to follow through in obedience to that teaching. Prepared hearts. Point number three, willing hearts. The children of Israel were preparing to build the ark in Exodus chapter 35 and verse 5. And they needed to gather a lot of necessary building products, items. In Exodus chapter 35 and verse 5, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass," and on the list goes. And that account goes on and tells us that there came a point where they had to finally say, they had enough. And what was that a result of? The willingness of their hearts to give. A willing heart. Are you of a willing heart this morning? To give of yourself, of your resources, of what God has given to you, the talents, the blessings, or whatever it might be. God has blessed us in so many ways. Do we have a willing heart when he calls us to areas of service? Do we have a willing response when we are called upon to teach, to lead singing in a congregational service, teach Sunday school, to teach school, whatever it might be? Willingly giving of ourselves, recognizing that God has blessed us in so many ways. He has given everyone talents and abilities that he wants us to use for his glory and for the expansion of his kingdom. God is looking for a willing heart from each one here this morning. Do you have a willing heart? Wise hearts, point number four. Wise hearts and stirred hearts we find in the same passage. If you'd like to turn to this one, we're going to go back to Exodus chapter 36. Just read verses 1 and 2. Exodus chapter 36. Exodus chapter 36 and verse 1. "Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even every one whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it." I'll read verse 3. "And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary, to make it withal, and they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning." We have here reference made to the wise-hearted man in both verses 1 and 2. Do we have wise-hearted people among the people of God this morning? Are you of a wise heart this morning? Where do we find wisdom? If you have a wise heart this morning here today, it's because you have sought God and asked him for that wisdom that you so desperately need, and recognize in humility that you don't have of yourself. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. The promise of God to give us wisdom, to give us wise hearts. Oh, how we need wise-hearted men to be leaders of our homes, to be leaders of our churches, to be leaders of our schools. We need wise-hearted young men who make wise choices in life that so much impact their futures. We need wise-hearted Christian women to serve their role in the home. Wise-hearted Christian mothers to guide the lives of their children. Where do you find that wisdom? It's in God. As you seek God, you can have a wise heart. And as you have a wise heart, I believe you will have a stirred heart to then take that endowment of wisdom that God bestows upon you and incorporate it into daily living and daily life's choices. Point number five, singleness of heart. Singleness of heart. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. What is left? It's a singularly directed energy. Singleness of heart. Loving the Lord our God with all our heart. Every ounce of energy is to loving the Lord. And then from that flows the issues of life. Are you of a single heart this morning? Colossians just comes to me now. I don't have it written down here. Is it Colossians 3? I should have it by memory. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Singular affection, a singleness of heart, a heart to know God, a heart to obey God, a heart dedicated to God. Point number six, another heart condition is a proud heart. A proud heart. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 17. Beware lest thou forget the Lord and say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. A proud heart. My strength, my power, my wisdom, me, my, I. A proud heart. Proverbs 21 and verse 4. And high look and a proud heart. And the plowing of the wickedness is sin. God hates pride because pride does not give God his rightful place, does not give God the glory for anything we have or who we are. If we are here this morning and have that proud heart condition, may we repent of it and give God his rightful place and give him the glory that he deserves. Point number seven, a smitten heart. A smitten heart. 1 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 5. It's the account of David. You remember how Saul was pursuing him in jealousy, trying to take his life. And David and his men in 1 Samuel 24 verse 5. And it came to pass afterward, after David went into that cave, was it? And took a piece of Saul's robe so that he could show him what he could have done. It says, and it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. His heart smote him. 2 Samuel 24, verse 10, also of David. And David's heart smote him after that he had counted Israel. O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done foolishly, he said. His heart smote him. I am glad this morning that God smites our hearts when we do wrong. Never despise God for smiting you with conviction and smiting your heart when you do that which opposes his word, disobedience to his word or his will or his command for your life. And so sometimes there are signals sent of a heart condition that give us the opportunity, whether in our physical health or in spiritual health. We get those signals in our spiritual health about heart conditions, and we're glad for things that can be done to heal and improve those. So in the spiritual, if our hearts smite us, take a step backward and allow God to search your heart as you prayed you wanted him to do this morning. At the onset of God speaking through his word, you prayed that God would search your heart. If God smites your heart, if your heart is smitten about anything today, tomorrow, next week, or any time in your life, as you acquaint yourself with God's word, you read God's word, you apply it to your life, And sometime when you're reading, you come across something or the word is being preached or taught, and your heart smites you. Repent. Turn from that way. Point number 8, a perfect heart. Possible to have a perfect heart? 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 14. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect before the Lord all his days. A perfect heart. Made possible only through the work of God and the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. We can be perfect before him. Perfect hearts. Only possible by God's miraculous performance of heart surgery, if you will, spiritually. It is possible for us to have a perfect heart. Point number 9, enlargement of heart. It's interesting that an enlarged heart here is in the positive. In the physical, if you're told you have an enlarged heart, there are issues. But here, it's in the positive. 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. God gave Solomon enlargement of heart. A heart that reached out and included others. Are you here this morning with an enlarged heart? Are you known to be an individual, a Christian this morning, who has a large heart? We often think that in the context of someone who shows love, shows compassion, shows concern for others, a large heart. He has a big heart. Do you know anyone that has a big heart? We talk about people that have a big heart. Do you have a large heart this morning? Using that in the positive. Number 10, tender heart. Tender heart, Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Of tender heart. We've been forgiven so much. And we are worthy of that forgiveness that we have experienced. We've been given so much love from God. God's love was bestowed upon us. What will we do then? Should we not, in turn, be of a tender heart as we relate to our fellow man? That's not our natural tendency this morning. It's not. It's me, my. Yeah. But let's be of tender heart this morning. Tender hearted. Kind one to another. On the same level that God hath loved us. And he hath forgiven us. So if someone even trespasses against us, we forgive them even as Christ forgave us. As the people of God this morning, followers of Jesus Christ, we don't carry grudges. We're tenderhearted. We forgive one another. We love each other. Number 11, soft heart. Soft heart. Job 23 and verse 16. For God maketh my heart soft. God made Job's heart soft. How did God go about giving Job a soft heart? It was through the experiences of life, wasn't it? We heard about that earlier this morning in our devotional. A soft heart. How do you respond this morning to life? How do you respond to life as it comes? You know, everyone is given that choice. How we will respond to life's circumstances. With a soft heart where we open ourselves and say, God, what are you trying to teach me in this? Or will we be like Pharaoh and harden our hearts in those experiences? Let's be soft-hearted people. A soft heart is one that is compassionate also, and tender and kind, as we just looked at. Number 12, a clean heart. God wants everyone to have a clean heart this morning. Psalm 51 and verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. God wants us to be of a clean heart, have a spiritually clean heart. God cannot allow sin to come into his presence. He is a holy God. But God, through Jesus Christ this morning, has made it possible that we can be free of sin and we can have pure hearts. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew chapter 5. Do you have a clean heart? Have you allowed Jesus to cleanse your heart from all sin and ungodliness? And can you claim to have a pure heart this morning? Number 13, a broken and a contrite heart. A broken and a contrite heart. Psalm 51 and verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. God does not despise a broken and a contrite heart. Rather, the opposite is true. I believe God is glorified in the life of someone who is of a broken and of a contrite heart. Because someone who is of a broken and a contrite heart bows himself before God, it is open to God, desiring God to lead them. Opposite of proud and the pride that governs so many people. God loves a broken and a contrite heart. It is a heart that he can connect to and guide and bless and be a blessing to others. Number 14, a fixed heart. A fixed heart. Psalm 57 and verse 7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. That sounds like purpose, doesn't it? Purpose of heart. Now I'm running ahead. That one's coming up just shortly. I don't want to go too far on that point. We won't have anything left to say on that one, will we? But a fixed heart is one that is established and following through with God. A fixed heart. Number 15, a fearful heart. Another heart condition. A fearful heart. Isaiah 35 and verse 4. Say to them who are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Now in the world that we live in today, there are so many reasons why we might fear. And the devil would have us to fear and tremble. And he would love to rob our peace. To be fearful this morning is to be robbed of one's peace. And God, the giver of peace, Jesus, the one who came to bring peace and goodwill to men, the one who came to give his peace to each of his children, we have an adversary who wants us to be fearful. We could be fearful of COVID. We could be fearful of, what is it in your life? Where is it that the devil is tempting you to fear? If you're here this morning and you're struggling with fear, and we all do to a greater or lesser degree, we all face that challenge. To each of us this morning, God is saying, be strong, fear not. Your God will be with you. Your God is with you wheresoever you go. He will come and save you. We might face physical harm, but spiritually this morning, we can claim God's power, his presence, and we need to find rest in that. We serve a sovereign God. He is in control of all things. He is in control of the nations. There's nothing happening that God is not aware of. There's nothing that happens that God does not permit to happen. On the world scene, in our family lives, in our church life, wherever it might be, in our communities, let's be men and women of God who trust in him and do not fear. Number 16, purpose of heart. purpose of heart. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. It's a very familiar account that we are often turned to find courage and strength and be impressed, if you will, with the difference it makes if we have purpose of heart. And it's so important this morning that each one of us are of purpose of heart. Purpose of heart to live for God, serve God, undeterred. Regardless of what people ask us to do, we will walk toward God. We will walk with God. We will not be deterred. Purpose of heart. A purpose of heart that gave Daniel to stand up for what was right, even though it may have been going to have cost his life. But because of his purpose of heart, God miraculously saved him and kept him, even in the lion's den. He had purpose of heart. Number 17, pure in heart. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It's the pure in heart that will see God. We live in a wicked, sinful world. Men and women of the world who do not know Jesus, do not know God, speak vile words, think vile things, which is why they speak those words. It's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, the scriptures tell us. So what is in our heart is what is finally what flows from our tongue and governs our actions. So if you're going to be of pure actions, you need to have a pure heart. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. A pure heart, a heart that God dwells in, will manifest itself and express itself in love. See that ye love one another, how? With a pure heart fervently. We need to be of a pure heart. Number 18, a troubled heart. Another heart condition this morning, a troubled heart. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no need to be of a troubled heart this morning. Jesus doesn't want us to have troubled heart. Again, it takes us back to being of a restful heart, not fearful. Don't be troubled. Jesus is coming again. He's delaying because he's preparing a place for us. He's delaying his coming because of his long suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why God is delaying Jesus' coming. So let's not be of a troubled heart. Let's persevere. And neither let it be afraid. Point number 19, a believing heart. God is looking for believing hearts this morning, hearts that respond to his call. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's where we find our salvation, by believing in our hearts in the Lord Jesus and confessing with our mouth the Lord Jesus. Do you have a believing heart this morning? Have you left Jesus into your heart that you can have that testimony flowing from your life? And finally, point number 20, assured hearts. We can have assured hearts this morning. We don't need to be floundering. We don't have to be questioning and worried about what our heart condition is or what our relationship with the Lord Jesus is. 1 John chapter 3, 19 to 21. 1 John 3, verse 19 to 21. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Assured hearts. This morning, I believe God can help us to know and understand what our heart's condition is. Praise his name. Again, it's not because of spiritually our heart condition can be perfect. We can have perfect blood pressure, if you will. We don't have to lay on the table in the dark for 10, 15 minutes hoping that something improves so that we can pass the test. We just need to commit our heart, our life to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can have a perfect heart condition. A perfect heart condition. Spiritually, our hearts are tested as we live our lives. Every one of our hearts is tested. We have those testing experiences. What is your heart condition this morning? You know, I believe each one of us individually is responsible for what our heart condition is this morning. And the difference is whether or not we commit our heart to God. Just commit our heart and life to God. He has the power to give us a new heart. A new heart. A cleansed heart. What is your heart condition this morning? Thank you for praying with me that God would search our hearts and know our ways. See if there's any wicked way in us and lead us in the way everlasting. If you leave this place with an open heart and have truly prayed that prayer sincerely, God will give you a healthy heart. Today, tomorrow, and always. God can do that if you surrender your life to him. God bless you. Shall we kneel for prayer?